All right, welcome aboard on a Tuesday. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. The voice is a little better, I guess. But I won't have to talk much this segment because it's a Tuesday, and Paul Costanzo is here. And before I get into college football, Paul, once again, I have to inundate you with a couple of things. First off, there was the single greatest play in the history of college sports made on Saturday as a defensive end out of Marysville by the name of Brady Beaton had a 15-yard pick six in Wayne State's 34-0 win over Davenport. How is Brady Beaton not on everybody's NFL radar?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know.
I mean, he's right up there on my straightly.
He's right on my Heisman list now. But no, that's awesome for Brady to close out his season like that. I know it's not over yet, but to put a play like that on the highlight reel is always nice.
All right, thoughts of round two, Port Huron High, Port Huron Northern last Friday night, and this time it's the Big Reds who prevail.
Yeah, another incredible game. You know, I think going into it, I hoped that it would be another good one, but I wasn't sure at all because of the injuries, how it would go. And, you know, both teams played incredibly well. And again, it came right down to the wire. I don't know about you, but with Seth Klink at quarterback, I just assumed Northern was going to score. I figured they were going to find a way to pull it out at the end there. And kudos to the PH defense for getting the stop. But just another absolutely incredible game at Memorial Stadium. We're lucky to have two of those this year.
Yeah, you know, it's the mindset, too, of both coaches, Paul, because it came down to fourth down and short for both teams, and neither team was thinking about first down. They were thinking about touchdown. Because PH scored the go-ahead touchdown with a minute to go in the game on fourth and three, and they threw it 27 yards instead of trying to get 3 yards. And Northern needed 3 yards to keep the game alive, and they were throwing the ball into the end zone trying to score on that that play. So, I mean, just that's what that game does to you.
Yeah, it does. And, I mean, those plays a lot of times obviously work out for PH. Didn't quite work out for Northern, but when you get fourth and short, everybody's looking at the sticks, right? Like, don't let them get to here. So going beyond that a lot of times can catch a team off guard. And, but it is just the atmosphere there. I mean, there weren't as many people as there were the last time. Being on the field, it was much colder than it was the last time. So that probably had something to do with it. But, just another incredible, incredible game. And I thought that, you know, both teams, you know, played very, very well. And I thought both coaches had a great game plan, too, going in.
I just it was fun. Both those games this year were a whole lot of fun. And it's nice when something lives up to the hype both times.
Yeah, that's rare, right? I mean, like, you don't see that very often where something does live up to that hype multiple times. And, you know, I'm just glad that they gave it to us.
All right. Port Huron High will play Lakeview next. They've got to go on the road. I know Lakeview just beat them recently, and they're a good team. But can the Big Reds prevail back-to-back weeks over teams called the Huskies?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I truly think that Port Huron Northern beat PH twice with that first one. I think that and not to say they would have certainly beaten Lakeview, but that, I mean, to try and bounce back from a loss that close that you put so much into, I think was rough for the Big Reds. So I don't think that score in that first game is indicative of what PH is compared to Lakeview. Northern beat Lakeview, I think it was 23-6 early in the season. I think we're going to have another great game on our hands. And Lakeview certainly, I guess, would be the favorite. But not by much. I mean, I think that, you know, PH has a great shot at winning this one.
And I don't know how much you've seen either of these teams. You probably haven't seen Elmont at all. But I want to talk a little bit about the Elmont Marine City game, because I think the focus when we talk about these two teams generally will be about the offense, because they both score so much. But if you look at the other side of it, Marine City's defense, this might be the best defense they've had in 30 years. I mean, they don't let people score on them.
No, they don't. I mean, they're spectacular on defense, and they do all of it. I mean, they get after the quarterback. They stop the run really, really well, and they cover the pass really well. I mean, so to be like that good on all three levels of the defense, you're going to give yourself a chance to win every game you play in the postseason because you're prepared for everything. And, I mean, no team is going to come in with a one-dimensional attack and beat Marine City. You're going to have to find a way to somehow trick them, and I don't know if that's possible. So, yeah, it's a very good defense, and the two times that I got to see them, I was very impressed with the way that their defense played.
Yeah, and Elmont might be the toughest offense that they'll face this year, but keep in mind, Marine City shut down St. Clair, a really good offensive team. And the other one that I wanted to point out is they shut down Madison, and I know at the time Madison was 0-4, but they're 6-4 and playing for a district championship this week, and they're averaging, I think, 47 points a game since their 0-4 start. So, and Marine City completely shut them down.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely – the games that they've won have proven what they are, and that's quite a bit. I mean, they have, what, the most playoff points in Division Five?
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty well tested. Even if some of the bigger schools that they played, their teams weren't, powerhouses. You know, when you're playing those bigger schools, I mean, the depth is typically there on those teams, and there's just more athletes on the field just because they have more kids to choose from. And so it does, you know, test Marine City going through the season. And, yeah, like you mentioned with Madison, I mean, they're perennially a very good team, and now, you know, they're showing it again at this point in the season. So I think that the Mariners are definitely going to be ready. There's no question about that.
All right, fun weekend in college football. Paul, let me just read you some of these scores, and you can kind of pick and choose where you want to go. Number 11, Baylor, 17. West Virginia, 14. Number 15, Notre Dame, 21. Virginia Tech, 20. Number
Sigh
six,
of relief.
Number six,
that?
Georgia, 24. Number 10, Florida, 17. Number 8, Utah, 33. Washington, 28. About number 12, Auburn, 20. Mississippi, 14. Number 17, Cincinnati, 46. East Carolina, 43. Number 19, Memphis, 54. Number 23, SMU, 48. And number 21, Boise State, needed 52 to get past San Jose State's 42. A lot of really close ball games and a lot of ranked teams struggling against, in some cases, unranked teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you get to November, though, sometimes. I mean, guys are banged up. You're in the slog of the season at this point. You've been playing for a couple months. And this is when teams can kind of sneak up on people, and you see some of those upsets happen maybe in the middle of the standings. But the Memphis SMU game was remarkably entertaining. I don't know how much of that you got to watch, but to see those two teams on that stage, you know, have game day there, and then to put them in prime time on ABC, it was fun to see that. And the thing about that game was, like, you could see the flaws in those teams, but sometimes the flaws are what make college football so much fun because they make it a little chaotic and a little crazy. And so I think when you watch a machine like an Alabama or an Ohio State, like week after week, you lose that a little. So it was fun to see that on display with Memphis and SMU. So that was the game that really stuck out to me.
All right. We're going to talk about two games in the Big Ten first before I get to LSU and Alabama, because that's obviously the game this week. Wisconsin will host Iowa. How big of a game is this for the Badgers after getting embarrassed by Ohio State?
It's huge, absolutely huge. You know, they've got to bounce back, you know, not only to, you know, not just the Ohio State loss, the Illinois loss, like to show that they're still moving in the right direction. If they lose this game to Iowa, they probably can't catch Minnesota in the Big Ten East. This is a must-win game for Wisconsin. And by the way, do you ever think I was going to utter that sentence? Can't catch Minnesota in the Big Ten East, but that's where we are. It's absolutely a huge game.
And that's the next one that I want to bring up, is because I got a call last week, I think it was from James, who said, how come nobody's talking about Minnesota? They're undefeated and nobody gives them any respect. And I kind of said, well, because they haven't really played anybody tough yet, but there are games coming up that if Minnesota wins, people will start respecting them. And the first one is this week when they take on Penn State.
Yeah, and we're going to find out a ton about them this weekend. And, you know, I think part of the reason people aren't talking about them is they struggled with, you know, some group of five opponents in the non-conference schedule. You know, they had a couple games that they needed last-second drives just to squeak out, and you kind of forgot about them for a bit. And they beat some Big Ten teams and even had, like, backup quarterbacks playing. So the resume to this point isn't super impressive, but they're 8-0. And PJ Fleck, we know that, you know, he can coach. He showed us that before. So we're going to find out this weekend. But, yeah, they have Penn State this week. They still have Iowa and Wisconsin on the schedule. So it's tougher for Minnesota going forward. But, yeah, it's an interesting development, definitely, in the Big Ten.
I kind of think about it and I shudder a little bit. If the Big Ten championship game is Ohio State and Minnesota, who's going to watch that? And I don't mean to be that disrespectful to Minnesota, but come on, who's going to watch that?
Some people in Columbus, and that's probably about it. I don't know. But at the same time, Dennis, I mean, who's going to watch Ohio State, Iowa, or Ohio State, Wisconsin, part two? Like, especially after what we saw. Like, that conference is so imbalanced between divisions right now that we get, I mean, last year, what was it, Ohio State and Northwestern? So you're going to get a clunker quite a bit in the Big Ten championship game. That's just the unfortunate part of the way that they were broken up.
And when it comes down to the playoffs, how bad does that hurt Big Ten teams that win?
Well, we've seen it can hurt them if, like, they have a loss. So Ohio State, if they lose before going to that Big Ten championship game, then they have to play, you know, a Minnesota team that might have two losses possibly, or even one loss if it's a bad loss to either Penn State or Wisconsin, then, yeah, I mean, that's not going to look great in the playoff committee's eyes. The one year that they got in when they had the loss, they beat Wisconsin, 59-0 or something?
Yeah.
It's tough. It does make it tougher because in the SEC, you know, Alabama or LSU is going to get to play Georgia and vice versa. And, you know, so those teams with a loss have a better chance of really asserting themselves at the end. So it's an advantage because it's easier to win. It's a disadvantage because it's not a marquee game in your biggest game.
All right. Yeah, number one LSU and number two Alabama play this week. Your thoughts on that one?
I think it all comes down to how healthy Tua is. A healthy Tua, and I think the 6.5-point line favoring Alabama is probably a little low. I just think that they're still all around better. But they're a little leaky on defense. We know what LSU can do on offense. They've been spectacular. So I think we're not going to get 7-3 when they play the national championship game. It's going to be, that was the regular season game they played, but it's going to be probably a bit of a shootout, I think, because of the way that both offenses are. So if Tua's healthy, I think he can lead Alabama to a win in a shootout. If he's not, LSU's got a real good shot of going in there and winning.
All right. Good stuff, as always. Appreciate you helping us out on the show today.
All right. Thanks, Dennis.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. There's Paul Costanzo, who joins us weekly to talk college football and a little more from time to time here on the Dennis Stuckey Show. We've got to take a break, but we'll be back with more going until 7 o'clock tonight on WPHM.